The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from New Hartford, Iowa. Participating in today's public affairs program are Nikki Thunder of KCHE Radio in Cherokee and Mike Mendenhall of the Newton Daily News. The first question will come from KCHE's Nikki.
Hello, Senator. Thanks for talking with us today. How are you?
Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Oh, likewise. All right. Let's go ahead. If you would comment on the Ferguson, Missouri issue with the violence and the looting after the announcement of if you could comment on that.
Yes, I'll be glad to. First of all, sympathy to the Brown family for the loss of a son. And my expression of faith, as you have to in the United States because we're a country based on the rule of law, to respect the rule of law, and also to expect respect the grand jury system and accept the verdict of it, however it went. And it went in favor of the law enforcement officer, presumably doing what law enforcement officers are supposed to do, sadly resulting in the death of a teenager. I'm sorry to see that there wasn't peaceful demonstrations in Ferguson. There were peaceful demonstrations, but there were also a few people that took advantage of the situation to riot and to pollute and to start fires. All that stuff is shameful.
Hi, Senator. Thanks again for further your time today. A few days left in the lame duck session, are there indications that the production tax credit and the other 60 extenders tax provisions will be extended? And do you think that extension will be a 1 or 2 year extension?
Yeah, 2 year extension. And the answer is yes, as negotiators for the House and Senate Ways and Means and Finance Committee put a bill together. Rumors I got yesterday is that it will be extended. There is a threat of presidential veto, not based upon the wind energy production incentive, but based upon some other provisions that were in the compromise between the House and Senate. The president said he might veto it. In that particular case, it's difficult to predict exactly what would happen because my guess is it'll be passed and vetoed by the president when Congress isn't in session. But I believe if Congress were in session, there's a good chance that the president's veto could be overridden. But hopefully the negotiators will look at the president's reasons for veto and maybe go back and adjust the compromise so that he won't veto it. But as of yesterday, there was an agreement between the House and Senate.
Senator, if you could tell us a little bit about the Ebola visa ban.
I'll be glad to tell you what I can tell you my position on it and what other 30 other countries have done, but I'm not sure that the United States is going to do everything it should. But 30 countries, particularly African American countries, have banned visas from those countries coming to the to leave Sierra Leone and the other countries where Ebola is a big problem. And I have asked our president and State Department to ban visas, and I sponsored a bill with Rubio to accomplish that in case the administration doesn't decide to take action on their own.
Senator, this is in regards to the renewable fuel standard finalization for the EPA. Do you think that their delay to not finalize that renewable fuel standard in 2014 is kind of an indication that they are going to rethink reducing the blending requirement? How do you feel like this delay is going to affect production of Iowa-grown biodiesel and ethanol at present and in the future?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's... It's been negative towards capital investment in ethanol and particularly in the follow-on of cellulosic ethanol. I think that's been negative. The extent to which it has, I can't measure. And, you know, at least it's a partial victory in the sense that they didn't make a decision for 2014, but they continue the uncertainty for 2015 and 2016, and we don't know what they will do, but I'll be in there fighting to make sure that the law stays in place and EPA doesn't do negative things to ethanol.
Okay, Senator, if you could just tell us a little bit about the passage of the new Veterans of Foreign Wars bill.
Yeah, pretty simple. The charter for the Veterans of Foreign Wars just talk about men veterans. And with the prominence of women in the military now, it just simply adjusts it to include women. And, you know, it's funny because VFW was formed, and when it was formed after World War II, you know, there were women in the military at that particular time. Why they weren't included, I don't know, and why it's taken so long for Congress to wake up and adjust the charter for the VFW, I have no knowledge of it, but I'm very thankful that we have made the adjustment to recognize the service of women in the military now.
Senator, there have been questions raised about the economic impact of the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline that's supposed to cut diagonally across the state of Iowa. I know that the Senate and the Congress and Washington doesn't really have anything to do with the approval process, but I was kind of hoping to get your take on, besides property taxes, how do you feel that that an oil pipeline could benefit the state of Iowa? And do you have any concerns about environmental risks or any competition with the state's renewable fuel sector?
Well, I would speak specifically, I speak generally about pipelines without making any sort of judgment about the necessity of a particular pipeline, except the one that I have to vote on, the XL pipeline. I support that, and the reason I might tell your listeners the reason that I support that versus some other pipeline that maybe is in state jurisdiction that I won't make a judgment on is because it crosses a national boundary, and that involves the federal government, whereas the pipeline you're asking me about doesn't affect international boundary and consequently will be subject to state eminent domain and state vision. So my advice, there's a whole series of town meetings that are going to be held. People should go and express that town meeting and express their views at that town meeting. And if I was making any comment about pipelines, they're safer than railroad transport. It's probably more efficient, more less inexpensive to consumers at that particular point. And we have hundreds of millions of miles of pipeline going across the country, and they're pretty much accepted. But if people have opposition to them, they need to go to the public hearing and express it. But since the state's involved in the pipeline you're asking me about, not the federal government, I won't make a judgment on that.
Okay, this would be just a quick one. Just kind of tell us your part in recovering the $3 billion in taxpayer money from the false claims law.
Yeah, probably can't be a short answer, but it'll have to be. I got a bill passed in 1986 that when whistleblowers report waste of taxpayers' money through fraud and they file a case, or if they do it in conjunction with the Justice Department, or if the Justice Department does it on their own, the people doing it and reporting it and participating in it will get a percentage of the recovery if they're successful. So that has brought in now $42 billion over the period of time since the bill was passed in 1986, $3 billion just in the last year. So it's the most useful tool against fraudulent use of taxpayers' money and probably has stopped a great deal of fraud just because the possibility of being reported by a whistleblower is there as a shotgun behind the door.
Thank you, Nikki and Mike, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.